Mylena Canning has been blind for about one third of her life. 30 years ago, she suffered from a respiratory infection and a series of strokes, which landed her in an 8-week long coma. When she finally awoke, her vision was gone. At first, Mylena only saw darkness, but soon she was surprised with a bright flash of light and colour. But the story didn't end there. Mylena Canning joins me now. Hi, Mylena.
Hi there.
Now, take us back to that time when you awoke from your coma, because it was colour that you saw, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right. I was placed into an induced coma in the February, and then I woke up in the June, and it was just a few weeks later that's when I saw my first glimpse of colour on the beginning of June.
And at first people didn't really take that seriously, did they?
No, not the doctors in my local hospital. They just told my family that it was my imagination because of all the trauma that I'd been through, and having the stroke. And they just said, no, she's left blind, she can't, it's her imagination, she hasn't seen colours.
That must have been frustrating, though.
Yes, it was annoying, obviously, that they didn't believe me. That was the most annoying thing.
So where did you take it from there, then? Because you were obviously sure that you were seeing something.
Well, yes. From there, I'd actually worked for an ophthalmologist. So I asked the doctors to get the ophthalmologist to come and visit me to test my eyes. So it was Dr. Anne Wiley, and she did come and visit me, and she tested my eyes, and she says, Mylena, I can't see it. There's nothing wrong with your eyes. She says, although I know you're blind, she says, I think it's something more complicated, and it's to do with the brain, and I think I should refer you to a neurologist. So from there, she referred me to Professor Gordon Dutton in Glasgow. And as soon as he did all his tests, he actually said, yes, you've got blind sight, or sometimes they call it sight unseen. So he believed me straight away. And then from there, he was at a conference down in London, and he met researchers from Canada who he told them about me. And they said, oh, we'd be very interested in Mylena because we're neurologists and would love to test her. So a while later they invited me over and they did all the tests and in the MRI scanner and everything, and they said yes. Originally, they called it as well sight unseen, but it's been back and forth. 5 years I've been going to Canada on and off, and now with all the research they've done, they've now turned around and says, I now have a condition also called Riddick syndrome.
Now, I've read a bit about this that you kindly sent me, and it seems to be Riddick syndrome. It's something to do with the occipital lobe, it says, and that's a part that handles your vision and colour. And they reckon that has been damaged during your illness, during your strokes.
Yes, that's right.
So what's happened is part of your brain has co-opted, so your brain is using different parts.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Yes. Describe your vision to us. We were talking before we came on air. I know you've got a coffee cup next to you. Just can you explain from that what you can see of that?
Yes. As I look to my right, my coffee cup is sitting on the table next to me, sitting here. So as I turn my head and look, I see the roundness of the cup, of your coffee cup at the top, and then I see the handle at the right-hand side. So I see the outline of the cup, and I see the handle very clearly. So then I can just put my hand out, grab the handle, and lift my coffee cup with, as if a sight, like a sighted person would. But it's just amazing that I can see that, I just get the outline. So,
but if you don't know the coffee cup's there, would you see it?
Yes, I still think, yes, I would, because, as I look, I can just, I mean, yes, I can, I turn my head away and I look back again, and there it's sitting there, and it's the roundness that I get of the coffee cup first, and then I look and stare at it, and then I get the handle.
You can't see anything else round about it, what the coffee cup's sitting on or anything?
Yes, I can see it's as if it's sitting on something square, and then I know that, because obviously I placed it there earlier, I know it's a coaster that I put down, so I see, to me it's just very dark just now, the coaster that it's sitting on, but I see the squareness of the coaster, and then as I look up a wee bit, I see the roundness of the coffee cup.
But looking around your room, your surroundings just now, you can't see anything else?
No. I mean, I'm sitting here in my living room, I roughly know. I know to the right of me there, because it's very bright over to the right of me, so that's where my living room window is, so that's very bright, I can see that.
It's incredible, and yet if I was to come in and visit, and you invited me for tea and cake, if I was standing there, though, you wouldn't see me, though, would you?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't see you, you know, the way, if you just walked in just now, and then I would stare and stare, all I would see, if you came in and I said to you, like, could you move your arm, you know, as if you were waving to me, then I would see that, and then I would look to see where your head is, and then I look down and I see people's shoulders, and then if their arm moves, I see that, but that's it.
So it's almost like your brain is trying to build a picture for you.
Yes. But like you said, you would walk in, I wouldn't know, I can't see your face. When they do come in, and then if they sit next to me, right next to me on the couch, if they sit to the left-hand side of me, and if we stare at each other, then I say to people, right, blink your eyes. And I see your eyes blinking. And then I look and I try to get the person's chin. And then I say, right, speak to me. And when you speak, I'll see your mouth moving. But that's all I get of a person's face. I wouldn't know the colour of your eyes, I wouldn't know the colour of your hair, or if you, you know. But if you sit next to me and blink, I see your eyes blinking, and I see your mouth moving, but that's all I get. I do not get the full face, I can't see the full face.
It must be quite tiring.
It can be at times, it can. I mean, I think if anything at all, to be honest, it's more frustrating, obviously, because now the Canadians are saying what this syndrome is, and I still say, but why do I see what I see, but I still can't see people? You know, I just don't get the full picture.
Now, you were a young mum when you were having to deal with this in the early stages and bring up your daughter, but there were things that you could see then, wasn't there, with your daughter? Again, it concerned movement.
Yes, it was, yes. I mean, when I fell ill, yes, Stephanie was only 2 years old. She's now 21, but as she was growing up, yes, things like her ponytail moving, you know, if she would turn her back to me and then move her head, I could see her ponytail moving. And then also, as you said, when she was so young, even when I would be getting her ready for bed at night, or, you know, bathing her at night time, and then I'd look down, I'd see the water moving in the bath, you know, so it seemed to be movement I was seeing. So it's very strange.
So over the years now, since then, would you say that you see a bit more than you did then?
See, this is the... I don't know, to be honest. I mean, in a way, yes, but I don't like to say that, because I'm still blind. I'm still,
yeah,
still registered blind, and I am blind, but it is frustrating, because when I say things like this, people, I don't want to mislead people, that they think, oh, she can see. I can't. It's just these slight things that my brain seems to be seeing, but, you know, it's really, sometimes it's quite confusing. I think, why am I seeing what I'm seeing? You know, but I am still blind. I couldn't walk out there and walk along the pavement myself, and because I'd fall in a trip, because I can't see the pavement or, you know.
I understand that. I mean, the way I've looked at it, and I've thought about this a lot, your story, and it is almost like, I mean, I experienced this. I've got central vision loss.
Right.
And I find that sometimes my brain, I think I see something.
Yes.
But I actually don't. My mind has actually created this. Whereas the other way around, it's almost like your mind is working really hard to see something. It can't see the thing properly, but
yes,
bits
exactly.
of your bits of your brain can pick up maybe shape and movement.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's what they're saying. Yes. Because that's exactly right. It is, you know, because the family say to me, you know, my husband and my mum, and, you know, and I say, oh, I can see that, you know, roughly see what that is, or, you know, and then it's confusing for them because they'll say, well, what are you seeing? And I try to describe it, and they say the same thing, but why are you seeing that? But then you can't see faces, and you can't, and I'll say, well, this is the confusing thing, you know, but all this research that's been done, like, that's exactly what you said, it's, they've explained it a wee bit more to me, so, but it is still frustrating, because you think, why can I see, you know, X, Y, and Z, but I can't see you, I can't see faces, I can't, you know.
I think it's even harder, probably. You'll have people running about you sometimes that just don't take it seriously.
Oh, yes, I've experienced, well, yes, I mean, a way back at the beginning, like I said, I mean, even my own doctors here in our local hospital didn't believe me, so, I mean, that was so frustrating, so, but that's when I meet people now, you know, and I do say to them, oh, you're, like we said, you're wearing pink, or but then I quickly say to them, oh, I am blind, because they say, well, how did you see that? And I'll say, well, this is what we're trying to discover, why, so then I have to explain to them, oh, I've got this condition, but,
I get the other thing, you know, I see something small. Macular disease is a funny thing. It's where somebody says, you know, you could see a 50 pence perhaps lying on the carpet, but when you actually bend down to find it, you can't find it.
Yeah.
And it's one of these things I found. I can sometimes see a bit of fluff in somebody's clothing from my peripheral vision. And if you pick it off, somebody will say, thought you couldn't see.
That's exactly the same with me now as well. And again, the family, just the other day, actually, just yesterday, I was sitting with my mum here, and I bent down, and I could see something on the floor, so I just went straight down to pick it up, and it was a piece of tissue paper. And my mum said to me, how did you see that? And I said, I don't know. I said, but I just saw something was lying there on the floor to my right-hand side, so I just went down and picked it up, and it was a tissue paper. So then
yeah.
That's when my mum will say, well, why can you see that, but you can't see me? And I'll say, I don't know, Mum.
Yeah. Did the university say that, you know, it could get better, no?
No, they've never. I mean, they've never, ever said that. They've never, you know. And I have said to them, well, you know, don't forget about me and invite me back and do more tests in Canada. But no one's ever said it would get better. Or, to me, it's got better from what I had 5 years ago, because 5 years ago I would say it was completely black and I wasn't seeing colours or movement, but today I am. So
yeah, it's funny. They say that though, with especially with younger people, that they lose sight at a certain age, then the brain can use those parts that don't work for sight.
Yes.
They can use it for different things, or maybe fine-tune things, and maybe parts of your brain are still trying
yes.
to sort of do things that you can't easily do, but it gives you a little bit of sight left.
Yes, that's true. That's also what Professor Jodie Cullum said. That's exactly right. I think my brain is trying to find different pathways to send the images that I'm seeing. So it's bypassing my damaged part of my brain, but it's trying to get round another part to send the images to my brain to let me see what I'm seeing.
Well, you're a miracle, because according to the research, I think you're the only example they've got all this information on now, isn't it? All the tests.
I think they did say that after all these tests, and now with them calling it Riddick syndrome, I think they've said, I don't know if they know anyone else, or, you know, so But now that they've called it this, I says I'll need to do some more research myself.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? You're on your own with this to a degree, so how it develops could be down to your determination, perhaps. And I think
especially that's true for you saying here, and you know, in Scotland here, I am on my own now because I don't have any consultants here in Scotland or any urologists that are interested, or you know, well, since, you know, like I said, since my other consultant Gordon Dutton retired, I don't have anybody here. I only have the Canadians to speak to, so which is a bit frustrating because it's not as if I can just jump on a plane and go over and see them every month or every, you know, because I say to them, if there is another change in my site, can I please contact you? And they said yes, but we'll definitely keep in touch.
You know, it's funny when people try to pick you up, it's almost like sometimes people try to catch you out. That you know, you're not blind. You can see this, you can see that, and you think, do you know what? Don't you think that if I could had a normal life as far as seeing things and doing things that people who are sighted can do, I would have picked that over this.
Of course, yes, definitely. Oh yes, I know. It is. It's that. Like I said, that's the thing that worries me is, you know, and people say, actually, the other thing is people say I don't look like a blind person. what does a blind person look like?
I know.
You know, but when people do see me out, and I think, you know, at the beginning especially, and my husband will say, well, you know, they're looking at me because I'm walking with my white cane, you know, but sometimes they just look and think, well, I think it's just an expression that my husband sees, and they think, she's not blind. You know, but with all this new research coming out, I do want to emphasise that, you know, I am still blind, even though they're calling it this redox syndrome. I mean, I can't do the things I want to do myself because I'm blind, and I can't just walk out there myself. I just hope that the way my sight has improved over the years, I just keep hoping it'll improve again, you know, and maybe I might, you know, a miracle might happen and I might be able to get a wee bit of sight in one eye that would make me even more independent. But you just pray and hope, really.
Marlena, it's been a pleasure chatting with you again. I always find it's two ways, because I sense your frustration, but I also sense that you're a very brave woman and you have got on with life. Please do get in touch with us again, though, and keep us up to date with what's happening. Marlena Canning, a pleasure to chat with you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. Thank you.